Hi there, I'm Richard. I'm the senior pastor of Every Nation Auckland City. We are a multicultural, multi-generational, socially responsible church that makes disciples. We hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
Thank you, Pastor Weong, for that big introduction. Puts a lot of pressure on me, eh? But thank you. But thank you, Pastor Weong, Pastor Richard, for not only for your friendship, but your leadership and taking the time to mentor me. I really appreciate you both. Kia ora, church. Happy National Kids Day. Today, we're going to delve into God's mercy and compassion for the next generation. Okay. So as we go through this sermon today, I'd like to encourage you to think about the children in your lives. I'm not just talking to parents here. Think about the children in Kids Church. Think about the children within the sphere of your influence. Okay, because this sermon is not just for parents, it's for us. All right? Because we're on a mission. And our mission is to raise a generation that loves God and loves others. So turn to your neighbor and say, we're on a mission. So before we embark on our mission today, please join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, because you are a God who loves all generations. And thank you, Lord, for our mighty calling to raise up the next generation that would love Jesus, that would follow Jesus and love their neighbor. Today, Lord, I just pray that you will open our hearts in our minds, Father God. I pray that I will decrease, Lord, so you may increase, Father. Pray for clarity, for revelation, and ultimately for transformation. We receive your word. Holy Spirit, lead us today in discussion. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody say,
amen.
Amen. So let's start with a little observation. Have you guys ever noticed that when you're kind to someone, that person reciprocates that kindness back to you. They're kind back to you. Or when you're generous towards someone, they become generous back to you. You guys remember RAC 5? It was an initiative last Christmas. Quick hands if you got racked back by a neighbor. Nice. For those who don't know what RAC stands for, it means Random Acts of Kindness, which was a beautiful initiative by our compassion ministry over the Christmas period. See, my point is, it seems like whatever you give, you're going to get in return. Because you see, the same is true with God's mercy. Jesus says in Matthew 5:7, that God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Amen. Yet, to truly comprehend mercy, truly understand mercy, we must first grasp compassion, right? Because mercy springs forth from a heart moved by compassion. And this is a compassion. The kind of compassion I'm talking about is what Jesus demonstrated in Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. Let's read that. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. And what did he do in response to that? He healed
their sick. See, the kind of compassion I'm talking about is splatizomai. It's the original Greek word for compassion in this context. Can everybody say that? Splaknizomai. Splaknizomai. It's like a taekwondo move. Splaknizomai. Right? So the first part of the word splakna means internal organs, right? And which means, so splaknizomai literally means to be moved so deeply by something, you feel it in the gut of your stomach, right? In your internal organs. Look, it's not the same as when you see lechon on the buffet table, right? Roasted pig or sisig. My Filipino brothers and sisters know this. And then your stomach starts rumbling. That's not the kind of splaknizomai that I'm talking about here. When it says Jesus was moved with compassion, It indicates an emotional response from him, a deep stirring in his innermost being. Right? He had a deep desire, you see, to elevate the people from their suffering. See, this event leads to the feeding of the 5,000. You guys remember that story? Jesus multiplied 5 loaves of bread and what? Morning church, 2 fish. That's right. See, the action that resulted to his compassionate response is what we can call mercy. And what does Scripture tell us about mercy? Right? Scripture tells us to love mercy, and equally important is to act justly and to walk humbly with your God. Let me just read Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. See that word there, the original word, Greek word for mercy is chesed. Chesed. It conveys the idea of loving kindness or steadfast love, which involves showing compassion and forgiveness to others, reflecting God's own mercy towards his people. You see, church, this is the kind of mercy and compassion we want to bring home to our families. This is the kind of mercy and compassion we want to demonstrate to our children. The kind of mercy and compassion we want to show the next generation. This is the kind of mercy and compassion we want to bring into our communities, in our workplaces. And so today, we will discuss mercy and compassion in the context of raising the next generation. Because our hope is to raise a compassionate generation, one that will represent Jesus in a world that desperately needs more compassionate and merciful people. So I guess the big question is why? You might be thinking, all right, TJ, big introduction, but why should we do this? All right, next slide, please. Well, number one, God tells us to do so, as we just learned, right? Second, it's urgent because there's a deficit, right? A growing gap of empathy in our society today. Let's read. The Washington Post reported that empathic concern, meaning people's feelings of sympathy for the misfortunes of others, declined by 48% between 1979 and 2009. And that keeps on trending, that figure keeps on trending today. It's a growing gap. And so many factors influence, you know, cause this growing gap, but that's probably another sermon for another day, right? But if you will notice, just open your eyes, this manifests in our day-to-day life. I don't have to justify this, you just have to watch the news. You know, last Christmas, we went home to visit family back in Manila. And as a parent, I sometimes find it stressful to travel on airplanes with little humans. Any other parents that feel that way? It's just me? Find that very stressful. And our little Tilly just turned 1 year old last December. And so on our way back home to Auckland via Hong Kong, our little ball of energy was walking up and down, you know, up and down the airplane, right? You see, at that time, she just discovered her very powerful voice. She loves to shriek. Regardless of her mood, whether mad, glad, sad, hungry, hangry, whatever it is, she loves to shriek, and it can be very disturbing sometimes. And so she's walking up and down that airplane, and so Arlene and I were trying our best to control the situation. I swear, I promise you, we're not that annoying passenger. And then there goes that person at the back. Psh! I'm like, what's up, bro? Want to talk to me now? Of course not. But no one wanted to talk to me, eh? You know? And so Tilly keeps doing her thing, and I'm just getting really stressed, and, you know, she keeps on shrieking, and then after 30 minutes, that person goes again, shh! And I just like, I just prayed what Jesus prayed on the cross. Father, please forgive that person, for they do not know what they're doing. But you see, it's a small example of what I'm trying to say, but it's a manifestation of how our world is falling into that gap. I felt like those people had no empathy towards parents traveling with kids. Okay? A growing gap in our society. Next slide, please. You see, the key message that I'd like to share with you today is that God invites each of us to participate in a mission, and that mission is to show mercy to children and nurture a compassionate generation. We want to raise a Gen C. I know we're still on Gen Alpha, so we made this up. Thank you, Pastor Weong, for helping me out with the title. Gen C. We want to raise up a Gen C. I guess the next best practical question is, but how? Right? How do we do this? And I'll be honest with you, I can't give you all the answers today. But one thing that I'm convinced of is that mercy and compassion starts at home. Right? This is not just a call for parents in the house. It starts with the uncle and the auntie here. It starts with the grandpa and the grandma. It starts with the ate and the kuya, big brother, big sister. Right? It starts with us, right? Because we are called to raise a generation of compassionate Christ-following children. Again, turn to your neighbor and say, we're on a mission. So let's begin with simple definitions as we start this mission. Because definitions help me out, you know, contextualize what I'm trying to say. Let's begin with simple definitions. What is mercy? If you do a quick search online, you'll find this description. Mercy is tenderheartedness and compassion towards someone in need. And our children is just that. They need us. Sometimes they may seem bothersome or uninteresting, and it's easy to feel like we don't have the time for them, but we must shift our perspective to understand that they rely on us, and we must be there for them. See, they need guidance. They need protection. They need discipline. Mercy doesn't mean we don't discipline our children, because discipline is training, right? They need instruction, patience, and grace. They need love and compassion. They need to be able to see themselves and God with accuracy according to what Scripture says. See, raising a generation is just like a rescue mission, and I keep using this word. We're guiding them in a broken world marked by the struggle of sin ever since the beginning, ever since Adam and Eve. We need Jesus to rescue us, and our children need rescuing too. See, this realization compels us to embrace our role in God's mission for the next generation. So here's what mercy means for us parents and those who are raising Gen Z. Next slide, please. Every action, reaction, and response toward children should be shaped by tenderness, understanding, compassion, and love. Paul David Tripp, pastor, author, public speaker, parenting expert. And let me tell you, to be honest with you, as a parent, I struggle in demonstrating this. In fact, I'm preaching to myself today. I'm probably going to watch myself when I go home. Not out of vain ambition or conceit, but to convict my own self. You know, let me tell you a story. When our Tilly was born, going back to Tilly, 1 year and 2 months ago, I was so excited to go on parent leave because Arlene and I decided to split the parent leave in half. I'll take the first 6 months and she'll take the second half of the year. And so that's what happened. And I said, yes, 6 months, baby, no work. That's how it felt. I said to myself, I'm going to be the best dad ever. You know, I'm going to take my kids to school. I'm going to take Stilly on strolls around the park and whatnot. But expectations versus reality, right? Even told myself, I'm going to watch Netflix at night, gym in the morning, upskill myself. All these things. I wanted to do so many things. But no, my routine was to prepare the kids' lunch, the paon. That's the hardest thing in the world, parents, I swear. It's so hard to prepare kids' lunch every day. So you know what I did? I mastered the art of air frying chicken nuggets. And so I gave them chicken nuggets every day, all day long, for the next 2 weeks until the school called me out and said, can you give your kids some vegetables and fruits? I didn't know I could do that, but that just takes so much creativity, you see. I don't have that. I don't know how my wife does it. But yeah, I've never been so busy in my life. You know, chores, 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 prepare this, do this, tutor the kids for their homework. So much emotions flying in the house. Yeah? And I was starting to become grumpy old dad. And to be honest with you, I realized I wasn't enjoying being a parent at that time. But the truth is, church, it was my selfishness that was creeping in. Because I felt inconvenienced, you know, and I wanted to do other things. And there was a struggle between my flesh and my spirit. And so I started crying out to God, God, please help me. I feel so burdened. Such a heavy load, this parenting thing. I didn't expect this. You know, in my quiet time, I came through 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. That reminded me that I too am a child of God. So I love that song that Karina and the music team was playing a while ago. I am a child of God. And that verse reminded me, let me share that with you. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves the children too. And we know we love God's children if we love God and obey His commandments. I come to realize that to truly enjoy our calling to be a parent is first we need to find joy in being a child of God, that is. Amen? So indeed, you know, parenting has taught me a lot about God's character. Now, I want to share with you three principles. Everybody say three. Three things I'd like to share with you today that would hopefully help us raise a generation of compassionate kids. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Number one, everybody say trainer.
Trainer.
We are called to be trainers of God's character. This is my first point. You know, professionally speaking, I used to be a trainer. I worked in a tourism college as a teacher slash trainer. And inside our campus, you will find a massive airplane, a Boeing 747 without wings, right? That facility is purely for practical training. And so my colleagues who were certified to train flight attending students would teach their students inside the classroom, and then they would take them up to that airplane after teaching all the theory, you know, emergency procedures, in-flight service and all that. They'd go up the plane and demonstrate how it's done. It's pretty exciting in that school. All throughout the day, you just hear the door suddenly swing open of that plane. Bam! Evacuate, evacuate, go this way! Don't evacuate, I'm just telling you a story. Evacuate, evacuate! So, you'd hear spontaneous people shouting, slide, go down the slide, because they're demonstrating what they're teaching. See, the difference between trainers and teachers is that trainers primarily emphasize on practical hands-on skills and application, right? They demonstrate what they teach, while teachers focuses on imparting academic knowledge. A lot of theory, a lot of the boring stuff that I did while I was working there, you know, was theory, research, and all that stuff. You see, church, we need to understand we have not only been called to teach God's word to children, but to be a constant model of God's grace in their lives. Let me read to you Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in a way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. You see, in Hebrew, the word train means dedication, initiation, or discipline. See, this pertains to guiding a child not just in education, but also in character building. And so it's crucial for us to demonstrate these values while guiding them. When we went home to the Philippines last Christmas, Arlene and I organized an outreach program for underprivileged children in our home province in Negros Occidental. Anyone from there? Any Longos in the house, Filipino brothers and sisters? All right, so underprivileged kids in a poor neighborhood. And our goal was not just to represent Jesus, okay, but our hope was to plant seeds of compassion in the lives of our children. And so, church, I want to encourage us. Let's expose our children to good works of compassion outside the four walls of your home, outside the four walls of this church. Yes, let's demonstrate compassion and mercy towards each other at home, but let's get them out there. Let's support the compassion ministry, our compassion ministry, right? And find ways on how we can serve, love God, and serve our community. Can you get an amen on that? Second point. Church, we are called to see the child's heart behind the behavior. And this is the hardest bit, okay? We are called to see the heart behind the behavior. Parents, I'm talking to you especially. You know, sometimes my default strategy to control my kids' behavior is to threaten them. Aika, Cage, stop fighting or else. For the 100th time, they keep on fighting. They carry on with fighting like cat and dog, scrambling all over the house. For the 1,000,000th time, stop fighting or else. And they still keep on going. And so there I go, going up the stairs, stomping my feet. My eyes start bulging. My face red. Pukana! No, just kidding. No offense to Maori culture, but what I'm saying is that's what I look like. It's look like I'm going to burst into... demonstrate a haka in front of my kids you get me, parents, right? Some parents use the art of manipulation. Tell you a story about little Johnny and dad. Dad says, "Little Johnny, if you stop fighting with your sister for 4 weeks, I'm going to get you that bike that you've always wanted." The next 4 weeks was the most peaceful time at home. No fighting, no nothing. And so dad goes online, orders the bike. Bike arrives. Dad and little Johnny assembles the bike. Little Johnny's so happy, he rides the bike, goes around, and then he starts running over his sister with the bike. My point is, the behavior doesn't change. Threats and manipulation doesn't work. I'm for positive reinforcement, but that's just to help build a habit. But it doesn't really change the child inside. So if we want to see a generation that is truly compassionate and merciful, then we have to train the heart where true change begins. Let me read Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Next slide, please. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces what? Good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces? Evil, naturally. Jesus says, this is Jesus right here, right? For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. See, church, the heart is the source of everything we think, we say, or we do and desire. In other words, human beings live out of their heart. And what that means for children is that every action, reaction, and behavior is more caused by what's happening inside of them rather than outside. The internal versus the external. See, everything we say or do is a result of our heart overflowing. So if we want to see change in our kids and even in ourselves, it's a matter of the heart. So we should focus on training the heart and not controlling the behavior. And finally, point number 3, we are called to remember our own need of mercy. This comes first. We can't do number 1. We can't do number 2 without truly understanding point number 3. You see, this is all about acceptance. It's not just simply accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but accepting how desperately we need God's mercy ourselves. Okay? So often, our issue is that we are merciless because we don't really think we need mercy ourselves. So let that awareness, let our awareness of our own needs and the gratitude really soften our hearts, making us better prepared and more willing to give to our children, to the people around us, what we receive from our Heavenly Father. Praise God. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 to 5 wrote this, "By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger." That's bad news, right? Just like everyone else. But God, everybody say, but God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It's only by grace that you and I have been saved. Here, church, we are reminded of the incredible richness of God's mercy. Read the depth of His love for us. It tells us that despite our sinful state, God in His mercy made us alive in Christ. This foundational truth is crucial in shaping our understanding of compassion and mercy. When we grasp the magnitude of God's mercy toward us, how He extended grace and salvation to us while we were dead in our sins, we begin to recognize the impact it should have in our interactions with others, especially our children, especially when it's so hard to forgive. Jesus on the cross serves as a starting point for understanding the depth of God's mercy towards us. This, church, becomes the motivation, framework, if you would like to say that, or model for us to extend mercy and compassion towards others. Can I get an amen to that? So, church, before I conclude, I just want to quickly summarize some key takeaways for us. Next slide, please. As trainers of God's mercy, number one, we are called to demonstrate God's word, just not teach it, demonstrate it. I'm just going to go through this really quickly. All right. Second, let's model appreciation to our children for God's word. Does your kid see you in your quiet time at home in serving? Let's model it to them. Third, let's expose children to compassion beyond our four walls. Right. Second, we are called to train the heart of the child and see beyond their behavior. Let's practice empathy at home or when we're with kids. Active listening. Listening is the hardest thing to do. I don't really understand, totally understand that. But active listening, genuinely listening to our kids by what? Providing a safe space at home for them to feel comfortable, to express themselves. And third, let's address the heart, not control the behavior. And finally, church, let's remember, let's acknowledge, and let's reflect on our own need for God's mercy. And so as I conclude, church, God's mercy empowers us to show compassion to the next generation. Next slide, please. You see, church, God has called us to be part of His mission of rescue, right? He has led to the children, He has led in our direction. Again, think about the children in your lives. This is not just for parents, but all the children you encounter day to day. You see, He doesn't just ask us to do what He can't do, so He blesses us with His wisdom, with His power, His grace. He parents us so we can faithfully train our children. You know, someone once said, the most powerful change in the universe is God's mercy. Not only does it change us, but demonstrated through us can impact a child to grow up being more merciful and compassionate, right? Just like Jesus. Church, I'm going to close in prayer, but before I do, I'd like to pray for two groups of people in the house. I'd like to pray for the parents, because in every nation, kids, it's all about parenting. We are a community of parents working together, sharing lives. If you're a parent and you're facing challenges in extending mercy to your children at home, because I know parenting can be very demanding, just like me, maybe you've run out of patience and you feel fatigued, you know, you're tired. Sometimes we say words that we don't really mean, or we do things, actions that we don't really mean that can potentially hurt a child. So if you just feel tired as a parent, everybody's eyes closed. In the count of three, raise your hand so I can pray for you and with you. One, two, three. Yes, yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, O Lord. Father, you see these hands. You see the hearts of these parents. Father God, I just want to thank you first because you are a parent yourself and you understand what we go through. And you said, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So, Lord God, you see these hands. I just pray for a renewal of joy and peace in their parenting, Lord God. I pray for the strength to forgive, Father, when it's so hard to do so. When our children make mistakes or their shortcomings. Lord, I pray for the patience for us to communicate with our kids, to provide that safe space for them to express their hands, Lord God. And finally, if there are any wounds, Lord, from our interactions with our kids, maybe it's words that I've said, we've said, or actions that we've done, Lord, I just declare healing of those wounds in your mighty name, Jesus. And everybody say amen. Thank you. Second group of people I'd like to pray for. Maybe for those who are longing to embrace God's mercy and forgiveness. Today, perhaps, you've never truly felt the depth of God's mercy in your life. Maybe you feel at one point that you are unworthy. Yet today, there's a stirring inside of you, in your heart, that compels you to seek redemption, to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. In a count of three, while everybody's eyes close, I want to pray for you, if that's you. One, two, three. Thank you, bro. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Praise God. Scripture says that God will separate your sins as far as the east is from the west. Just pray, for those who raise their hands, pray this simple prayer with me. It's really simple. Just posture your hearts to Jesus and say, pray this with me. Heavenly Father, will you forgive my sins? Jesus, save me. Oh Lord, make me new. And fill me with your Spirit, O God, so I may walk in your presence and know your word. Thank you for your mercy, your compassion. We love you. This we pray in your mighty name, and everybody say, amen. Church, before I let you go, just want to say that we're here for you as a church. If you want to talk to someone, we'd love to, you know, walk with you and just share lives with you. So feel free to approach any of the leaders in the house. And I'm going to send off the church. Hey, God bless you. Thank you for today, church. God bless you. May His face shine upon you. May He give you strength, His mercy, His compassion all throughout the week and the entire life. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody say, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. To know more about Every Nation Auckland City, you can visit our website at www.everynationauckland.org. www.everynationauckland.city. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.